Well, we've been talking about it all day, and now the time has finally come. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau joining us live in the News 1130 studio. First question, Mr. Prime Minister, you are here to talk about pipelines, and late last month, your government announced its support of the Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion because of views, as you said, the economic benefit to the country outweighs the environmental risk to the Lower Mainland. In essence, you're asking Metro Vancouver to take one for the team, for the country. You're now talking right to the people who are assuming that risk, our listeners. How do you intend to sell them on the benefits?
Actually, John, I'd characterize it very differently from the way you did. I think Canadians, in particular British Columbians, understand that you cannot build a strong economy without protecting the environment. We've been doing that effectively here in BC for a very long time. And the way to make sure that our environment is protected is to put in place what we've done, a national price on carbon, move forward on an oceans protection plan that is going to be world-class in its spill response, put forward a pan-Canadian framework, demonstrate true leadership in reducing our carbon emissions across the country, and at the same time ensuring that we have the jobs through this transition off of fossil fuels. That's what's in the country's interest. That's what's in BC's interest, and that's exactly what we're doing.
Now, Prime Minister, your government killed the Northern Gateway project and imposed a ban on tanker traffic on the north coast, saying the Great Bear Rainforest is no place for tanker traffic, and yet you seem to think sailing more tankers into one of the most populated areas of Canada is fine. Can you explain the reasoning?
Well, BC's Vancouver Harbour is already a very busy busy port with lots of jobs, lots of economic activity, and we need to do a better job of protecting it and safeguarding it. That's why just today I was making an announcement around two new tugs that the Coast Guard's going to have to protect not just the Lower Mainland area, but up the coast as well. We're demonstrating world-leading science on protecting the southern resident pod of orcas. There is a lot of things we need to do, and fundamentally, Canadians understand that there's no choice to be made anymore between environment and economy. We need the jobs, and we need to protect the economy for the environment for future generations.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned those whales, Mr. Prime Minister, because two environmental groups just today filed for a judicial review of your government's decision to approve the Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion. This is the first of what could be many legal challenges to the project. They say an increase in tanker traffic would be a death knell for the pod. What is your message to them?
Actually, John, if you're keeping track, it's about the sixth legal challenge to the TMX decision. And that's one of the great things that we have in this country, processes which allow people to speak out, to express their concerns, to say that they want us to rethink decisions. That's perfectly natural, and it's an important part of the process. On the Southern Resident Pod, the fact is that they are extremely vulnerable right now with the hundreds of thousands of boats that pass them every single year. We need to do a better job, whether or not the TMX pipeline moves forward, on protecting them. And that's why we've made significant investments and are continuing to look at how we can better protect that pod of very particular orcas. And I am confident, as I am in general in this decision, because I grew up, spent many years on the BC coast. My grandfather was a Minister of Fisheries, MP for Vancouver North. He understood, and I understand, how important it is to protect these oceans. And I am confident that not only are we going to be able to do a better job as we move forward protecting those marine mammals, but we're going to do a better job protecting our entire coasts, even with and because of, in some ways, the pipeline that we're building.
Now, another critical subject in the Lower Mainland is the fentanyl overdose crisis. We learned yesterday that November was the worst month for overdose deaths in 30 years. Now, the City of Vancouver has just approved a property tax hike specifically to deal with this. What more can we expect from the federal government to directly help this region?
Well, one of the things that we've been working very hard on is to reverse the decisions made by the previous government to make it much more difficult to set up harm reduction sites. We know that harm reduction is a big part of dealing with the immediate crisis to support people who are in danger of overdosing. But there's a lot more that we have to do, whether it's continuing to make restrictions on pill presses, whether it's working with first responders and police to be able to be there to help better. But on top of that, we have to look at the whole frame, the investments we're going to be making in the national housing strategy, the investments we want to make in mental health and addiction, dealing with addictions. These are things that are going to help us through this crisis and out the other side to a place of safety, because it's not just certain communities anymore that are vulnerable to the fentanyl and the opioid crisis. It's communities right across not just BC, but indeed the country.
Now, speaking of investments, transportation and transit also very big issues here in Metro Vancouver. Critics say our public system is way behind and in desperate need of funding. The first phase is underway. Will you now commit your government to funding the second phase of the local mayor's 10-year transportation plan in the next budget?
Absolutely. One of the things that we're looking forward to in the next budget is significant announcements on building new public transit. And one of the things I've always said is that it shouldn't be up to Ottawa to decide what line is needed where and how this should actually be delivered. That's why we've been creating such great partnerships with local municipalities, including the City of Vancouver, but across the Lower Mainland, on what their priorities are. And that focus is where we know that not only are we responding to the very real needs that citizens have, but it's how we create productive and growing economies for people in the future.
So to be clear, we can see that in the February budget?
We will be making announcements around infrastructure. There's a number of things we're doing, but not every project is ready to go and ready to be announced yet. But we're putting forward, continuing the framework of $180 or so billion dollars into infrastructure in the next 12 years.
Now, the lumber industry is still the biggest economic generator in this province. So the U.S. is asking for penalties on Canadian softwood imports. An interim duty could be just around the corner. What does your government plan to do about that?
We've been engaging regularly since I first took office. As of my very first meeting with President Obama, we talked about softwood lumber, and we've continued to engage with it throughout. The challenge is it's the industry on the United States side that is slowing things down rather than the administration. But we continue to make representations, to work very hard. I've got a great team, including Chrystia Freeland, our international trade minister, who's been working very closely with the American administration on this. And we know it's a difficult file, but it's one that we're working very seriously on.
And finally, Mr. Prime Minister, Donald Trump is set to be inaugurated as the next president of the United States. You could say he's basically where you were about a year ago. After your first year in office, do you have any advice you'd pass along to him about leading a country?
Just to stay focused on the mandate that got you elected. People give you their trust when they elect you. And what I committed to, and part of what he committed to, was to grow the middle class and those working hard to join it, to give them opportunities. And that was what we were able to deliver in this first year. Lowering taxes on the middle class and raising them on the wealthiest 1%. Delivering a Canada Child benefit that gives more money in the pockets of 9 out of 10 Canadian families, because we stopped sending those child benefits to the wealthiest families. Investing in infrastructure in meaningful ways that'll help with public transit, help with green infrastructures. Reforming the Canada Pension Plan, strengthening it for future generations. Putting forward a pan-Canadian framework on climate change. Putting a price on carbon. These are the kinds of things that people asked us to do. And my best advice for any politician is to keep your promises.
Now, it's a bit of a stylistic change from the Obama White House to the Trump White House. What have communications been like between yourself and the president-elect?
As I've said many times, the relationship between Canada and the U.S. is far deeper than just that between president and prime minister. I've had I had a conversation with him after he won and congratulated him, and it was a very cordial conversation in which we'll have a constructive and productive working relationship. But the fact is that the way Canadians have engaged at all levels, recognizing that 35 American states have Canada as their number one export destination. There are tremendous relationships and links that go either side of the border. Those are what we're working on to build, and that will continue to benefit Canadians in the coming years.
All right. Thank you for your time, Mr. Prime Minister. You've been listening to a live interview with Justin Trudeau here on News 1130.